Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Facilities Management and Maintenance, FM&M, your facility management solution. Keep COVID out and get back to work with FM&M and its COVID-busting cleaning services. Call Lisa Fitzgerald at 617-561-7003 or go to fmm-inc.com to learn more.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, March 18th. It's a very special Thursday, Maz, I do have to say.
Yep.
We got Maz and Murray remote. We come to you here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. I'm not quite up on the simulcast yet. Some internet problems here in the Felger household. But joining us, most importantly, is our good buddy, our friend and yours, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal. It's a big boy Thursday. What's up, Greg?
Oh, no, Greg.
What's up, fellas?
Oh, there he is.
Rutgers is in the NCAA tournament. The Patriots don't suck anymore. And I'm back. Woo!
Le grand garçon. The big boy.
All right. So let me just tell you out there, folks. We have the big boy in to talk actual football. So listen, you know how it goes here on the show. Felger and Maz, we're going to talk about the Palace Q, Brady Belichick, why and how Belichick screwed up, and Brady this and Kraft that, and you know, but that's what we do. If you are actually interested in, though, I don't know, the football, i.e. pad level, whether this guy can, I don't know, set the edge, I don't know, football stuff. Now's your chance.
12 personnel.
Right. Now's your chance. If you want to talk football with Bedard about these signings and the Patriots in free agency, now's your chance. 617-779-0985. You got him for 2 hours, so have at it. Greg, I'll just start by asking you generically, how do you think the Patriots have done? What do you think they're doing? Why have they done it? You know, what's your lead takeaway here? If you had just dropped in from Mars and had to write a column about the last 2 days, what would you say?
Felger, you know me. I am a natural-born cynic. I don't really like much of anything. But I think the Patriots did a great job with what they've done. I mean, I really do. I think that these are all guys in one way or the other that I've respected on film. They're good football players. I've checked around. Almost all of them check out in terms of work ethic, smarts, buy-in, all that stuff. I think Belichick got into a situation. We know how he got here. We knew what they were last year. How do you find a way out of it? Belichick had a plan. I think he executed it. I think that the rest of the league dropped the ball a little bit. I think we'll get into that a little bit more in terms of basically letting Belichick do this. But I think there is no question that the New England Patriots are a much, much, much better football team today than they were at the end of last season. They are talented all over the board on both sides of the ball. Both lines are now positions of strength. There's still work to do there, but the Patriots are in a great position, and I've been very impressed, not to sound like Lewis Riddick or any of the other Belichick people, but I think it's legit. I think they have done a great job. They got younger. They basically imported 4 or 5 Pro Bowlers since they can't draft their own. And I think they're ready to take off.
Is there any commonality with what they've done? Obviously different positions in all of this, but any common thread?
Yeah, the common thread is they almost universally, and it's not, you know, for everybody, but most of these guys, they're getting on the ascension, which is extremely rare in free agency. And look, I wanted to say, and I pointed out, and you guys talked about it, I want to make the correlation to the Eagles' dream team, because in 2011, a weird offseason. This year it's COVID and the cap. Then it was the lockout, sort of, you know, all of a sudden all these guys became available. Patriots plucked some bad ones. The Eagles plucked a lot of bad ones. And Andy Reid was fired 2 years later. You know, you could say, oh, well, the other teams that have done this and gone hard in the free agency, it's Adam Gase or they suck or this or that. Andy Reid did it and got his ass fired in Philly. But the difference here with what the Patriots have done, number one, they had basically no competition. Number two, they went, and I have been talking about this on my podcast at FBSJ for a while. They went young. They went versatile. They got guys that are going up in their career, not, you know, Nnamdi Asenwah or Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or Ronnie Brown who are going down. These guys, in theory, are ascending and about to hit their prime, and the Patriots got them for a pretty good rate.
Maz, you got anything for the big boy?
Well, so I've got a couple things. First of all, Greg, were you as surprised as everybody else at the way this happened?
The assault? Yes. I mean, I thought, and you know, some of the members at my site I have a chat with, and they asked me that morning of Monday morning, they said, what's your best guess on what the Patriots do? And I said, my best guess was Jonnu Smith and Nelson Agholor and probably a special teams linebacker. So, I mean, I thought they were going to go a few big ticket items early, and then they'd go back to value shopping and sort of let the market settle. Then I'm going to pick and choose. Instead, Belichick basically had a shopping list of what he wanted. And I think here's the other thing, Tony, that I didn't really wholly consider. And now in hindsight, it makes sense. The competition that he had. So it was basically, and I equated this to house hunting in my column. You could use a poker table, whatever. Belichick realized, he's like, all right, I'm going to this poker game. It's me, it's the Jaguars, it's the Jets, and it's Chris Ballard and the Colts. The Jaguars and the Jets are pretenders. We all know that. They're not my real competition. Colts, pretty good competition. But you know what the deal is? Chris Ballard over there, he's the poker player who thinks he knows everything, knows more than anybody else, and he hoards his chips. He's the type of guy, when looking at a house, he's going to look at 15, then he's going to go back 8 times, then he's going to give a low ball offer. Belichick said, screw that. I got my wad. I'm going to go to each guy on my list. Here's my offer. Take it or leave it. I'm going to the next guy. And it worked perfectly.
Okay, so that part aside, because again, I think I just wanted to ask you that because frankly, you know, look, we're on the outside of it. You're closer to it. And that's why I wanted to know if you were surprised as everyone else. Beyond that, there's got to be something you didn't like, Greg.
Let's put it another way. I mean, what's the potential downside to what they've done?
The potential downside is they don't really know these guys. Maybe the receivers and tight ends don't get the offense, even though that risk is even mitigated now because it's Cam Newton, a rookie quarterback, whatever, at quarterback, instead of Tom Brady. If it was Tom Brady at quarterback, I might not be as excited because of all the things we've talked about for years. You know, he's on, you know, chapter 50 and everybody else is on chapter 2. How is this working? This is different. It's Cam Newton. You know, let's just say he's still on 101 on the Patriots offense, even if he is the opening day starter. Could be a draft quarterback. It could be a rookie. He's going to be on 101. So everybody's going to be starting at the base. So that's minimized. But there is a concern that the tight ends don't get it, that Nelson Agholor can't cut it in a Northeast city, and he just chokes under pressure. He's okay in Vegas with no fans in the stands. All of a sudden, he comes to a hardcore New England city, and he can't hack it, and he's dropping balls all over the place again. Defense, I don't have a lot of qualms about. Injuries are always a concern. But the dark side of all of this is they have cap issues next year. Oh, you know, they're going to have to restructure some guys. You know, so what if guys don't – yeah, thanks, Felger, you know, for your cap analysis. But, you know, what – I mean, you know, it is going to – Felger, it is going to cause issues, okay? It could cause issues if the guys don't play. But – yeah, I mean, in theory, the Patriots bought them time to actually draft well for once and get caught up. This is one big mulligan for Bill Belichick. If it works, great. If it doesn't, this is going to implode in 2 years, 3 years.
Greg, you mentioned the thing with Agholor, and Eagles fans basically ran him out of town there because he had drops his last year there. But do you see any specific red flags with any of these players they brought in? outside of that.
Well, so listen, can I hold this? Because we're doing this in three up and three down. So our three up, three down is going to be three things that Greg likes about this class and three things that he doesn't. So let's just, if we could save that, Murray.
Sure.
All due respect. We got that later on this hour. Let me just ask you before we go to the first break and start to take calls. What do you think this means for the quarterback position, Greg? Does this mean to you it's more likely they bring back Cam Newton? Does it mean it's more likely they're going to do something else, because how can you invest this much in the roster and then not have a real quarterback? What does it mean to you?
To me, the leader in the clubhouse right now is Cam Newton and a draft quarterback. And could that draft quarterback start week one? Yes. It doesn't mean they're going to trade up or take one at 15. No. But I think the leader in the clubhouse right now, with all that they've done, and they could still do more here. You know, a guy like Andrews is still out there and things like that. The leader in the clubhouse to me is it's Cam Newton and a draft quarterback, and Cam starts until the draft quarterback is ready.
And is that because Garoppolo is just not available, or is it because they've built this for Cam Newton, or what? Why do you say that?
They have not built this for Cam Newton. They are still open for Garoppolo. He is still their preferred quarterback. They just don't know whether it's ever going to happen. So they're not waiting. They were like, they've had discussions with the 49ers. 49ers are screwing around. Oh, no, we really like Jimmy, all this stuff. And they said, okay, well, we're moving on. Because Jimmy might not ever be available. So they had to do something.
And
so,
do you think, when you say draft quarterback, do you believe trading up is on the table? Drafting at 15 is on the table? Do you think everything's on the table, or is it more of a later round approach?
Everything is on the table, but if I had to bet money right now, I would say they take somebody about round two. That's just my gut.
So I was just going to ask you about that, whether there was anyone in particular they were targeting, Greg. Like, when you look at the personnel that they have, that they've added, does it fit Lance? Does it fit, you know, the kid from Wake Forest, whose name I now forget, or whatever? You get the idea. Is there anybody that you say, well, given the personnel they have, this is the guy they're probably looking at?
No. I think that this array of talent and their scheme, frankly, fits just about anybody. And I can tell you, they are not close to being done with their quarterback evaluations. And I don't even know how much Belichick has looked at it. Normally, he's more of a April is, you know, draft season for him, especially with all the work he had to do this year. So they are not close to being done with their quarterback work.
Okay, we are off and running with Greg Bedard. If you have any thoughts for him, any questions, football questions, now's your chance. 617-779-0985. We're going to take a quick break. Stu, I'm going to reset the internet in my whole house. This is always dangerous.
When
I go back into that back utility room, man, that is, I am asking for trouble.
I'll be on alert.
But so that's what I'm doing. If I'm not back by the day, it takes forever for the whole thing to reboot. So if I'm
just
not
Mike,
back
if I could ask you, make sure you can get this live read in before you do that.
I definitely will. I'm going to satisfy the sponsor. I'm going to shut everything down and shut everything back on. And if I'm not ready to go to the beginning of the next segment, that's why. So load them up for Greg, and we'll be right back.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Bankroll Boy Dan Lipschitz here to tell you about BetterThan.Vegas, the home for avid sports bettors, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks from the best cappers and bettors around the globe. Think social video platform for sports betting. I know, mind-blowing, right? Are you a capper that's maybe looking to grow your audience? BetterThan.Vegas is the place for your voice to be heard. Or, if you're looking for some daily advice on how to crush the books, you gotta check out the site. You can find me under Dan Lipschitz, and be sure to follow them on Twitter at BTVCashTickets. Head now to BetterThan.Vegas.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jonnu Smith is one of those guys who can line up all over the place. He can play running back. He can line up split out wide. And he's a guy who's very good in situational football in the red area. Hunter Henry, an absolute first down producing machine on third down. Defensively, he wanted to stop the run. He gets Davin Godshall. He wants more power on the edge. He has Matt Judon. He wanted more power to just punch people in the mouth on offense. Have you ever seen Trent Brown? This guy is like a skyscraper, and he's an absolute just rear end kicker. So all he did was, I'm going to build this thing exactly the way I've always done it, inside out, front to back, and I'm going to get guys who are great at situational football and who are versatile and multiple. And he's executing it to a T right now. Now it's all on the quarterback. It's all on Cam Newton and whether or not they wind up drafting somebody for the future. But right now, as far as team building is concerned, this is a clinic of how to run free agency. It's an absolute clinic.
Louis Riddick of ESPN obviously played for Bill Belichick. And if you're just joining us, Felger is reconnecting from his home. Greg Bedard has joined us here on a special edition of Big Boy Tuesday, Thursday edition. So again, Greg, as you hear it there, Louis Riddick talking about Belichick's approach here and calls it a clinic. Do you agree? Is that what this was? Was this a clinic?
Yes, it was, Tony, but there needs to be context given and an important context. And I think you guys were spot on yesterday when you were talking about Riddick trying to get back into Belichick's good graces over the Josh Allen thing last year. I think that's very real. But what needs to be put into context about this year is, and what Belichick has done, is there has never been a free agency like this before, ever. You know, and there probably never will in the history of the NFL. What I mean by that is that when the cap is going down and it comes out of nowhere, where, you know, unlike the lockout or things like that, where teams could prepare and say, hey, you need to look out for this. The uncapped year that we had in 2010, then the lockout, like everybody could prepare for that. COVID and what has happened, you couldn't prepare for. It came out of nowhere. The Patriots just got very fortunate that all of this aligned at the same time to where they had the most money and all these guys were made available. I mean, in any other year,
okay, so
let me just make this last point. In any other year, a lot of these guys don't hit free agency. And so, yeah, the Patriots were pretty fortunate that the timing worked out this way.
Okay, so, Greg, what I was going to ask you, because I think this point is important, and there are a lot of people out there, Greg, who still say, well, Belichick, the Patriots saw into the future. Belichick knew this was coming. The market was going to be favorable. No one else was going to have money. He was able to rebuild the team. Isn't that a myth? I mean, if they had drafted well, Greg, they would never have spent the money they spent. And look, you tell me whether I'm right or wrong, and then we'll get to some calls. But I just look at it, and I think Mike feels similarly. And again, he'll be rejoining us here in a second. But as I look at it, I say, wait a minute. The fact that they didn't have players is why they had to go out and buy them, regardless of what the market was. You can't tell me that Bill Belichick tanked 3, 4, 5 drafts in a row because he knew there was a COVID market coming. I think that is preposterous to me.
Tony, you're exactly right. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, part of the reason why the Patriots have so much cap space is because they have no young players to invest in. They don't have any guys that they want to, you know, re-up or extend because their drafts have been so bad. So, and the other thing is, the reason why they have so much cap space is because they don't have a quarterback. You know, if they had a quarterback or if they planned in place, then you could say something. But no, this was all an accident. And the thing that people need to remember is that you're never going to see another free agency again. I think this is why Belichick pounced so quickly, is that you're never going to see a free agency again where you get this many young players who are set free from their teams, or at least that you could sign them. And I think the Patriots, I think that's why they paid a little bit more for, say, Aguilar or Jonnu Smith, where they took advantage of where the 49ers were, Kendrick Bourne also, 49ers were, where the Raiders were, where the Titans were with their cap, and they made offers that they know they couldn't really match. And so all of this married together in the most unique free agency probably in the history of the NFL. And, you know, credit to the Patriots and credit to Belichick for executing. Once he got here, there was an opportunity. He executed, and the Patriots are much better today than they were a week ago.
Okay, so let's do this. Felger is reconnected. We'll take Rick and Malden.
Yeah,
and then Mike can jump right back in. So here's Rick and Malden. Rick, go.
Yeah. Did the Patriots even talk to any of these other receivers? Because Curtis Samuel just went to Washington for 11.5, and we're paying that bum that's now got $13 million. And same with Corey Davis in the Jets. He's signed for less than Nelson Aguilar. Did we even talk to any of these other receivers, or they just love Nelson Aguilar that much?
Okay, so Greg, what do you think of that? So, yeah, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Okay,
can I just rephrase the question? Did they mismanage the receiver market?
Look, we don't know the answer to that. I could tell you that They went and got the guys that they wanted. I didn't, and I had written this before, they didn't have much interest in Corey Davis. You know, I told people going into this, youth and versatility is what the Patriots were going after with their surplus of money. And Corey Davis is a one-trick pony on the outside. And there was not much interest there. I don't know how much they like Curtis Samuel. I mean, in theory, Curtis Samuel is a good player, and I mentioned him as a possible trade target at the trade deadline last year. But, you know, is he really that good of a player? To me, I think Nelson Aguilar is a better fit for what they do in terms of his ability to get open quickly. He's got long arms. He's got big hands. He's got long legs. He gets 50-50 balls well. He can bust the big play. I think Aguilar is a better all-around receiver than Curtis Samuel, who is more of a multi-gadget tool.
So I would just say, yeah, they may have overpaid for some guys.
They did.
So what? So what?
Exactly.
To me, you know how I feel about the cap, Greg. We just disagree about it. I think if you're smart and creative, you can get out of any problem you want. All it's going to cost is Robert Kraft some money, and he's okay there. So I think they overpaid. I think they could have waited for some of these guys or paid them less. So what? So they paid them a little bit too much. I've never had a problem with another team doing that. I certainly don't have a problem with you doing that. At least I'm consistent. Scott, and I'm not talking to you, Greg. I'm talking about the Patriots fans and media that go, look at these stupid teams. Stupid team. They overpaid day one. Stupid. You're spending too much money. Stupid. I've never done that, so I'm not going to do that to you. Scott in San Francisco, Jimmy on line two, if you could pop him up. Offensive line question. You've come to the right place. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Mike, Greg, what's up, guys? So the Dolphins just signed the Ravens center, Skira, to a one-year deal where Andrews was, not looked at going, but potentially going to. Do the Patriots have an idea to bring Andrews back to shift Karras over to guard to get a little depth there for their potential strong run game this season?
So what are they doing up there, Greg?
So I'll tell you this, from what I know about the situation. Let's just say that David Andrews placed a good value on himself. Coming into this, which the Patriots did not agree with, which I do not agree with, where he was looking for a contract. And so they said, you know, good luck, go find it. I don't know if he's going to find it. And does that mean he could come back here? Yes. I think I would say the door is still open. I think something smart for both sides would be a one-year deal, let Andrews go to free agency next year. But I still think the bottom line is the Patriots, which they should have done last year, which they tried to do, which they failed miserably with, is they need to get a center in the draft, regardless of whether Andrews comes back or not. They need to prepare for the future at that position. But I do think it's possible that Andrews comes back.
Mike, Jimmy, quickly, give me David in New Bedford on line six, please. David in New Bedford, what do you got for Greg Bedard?
Yes, I was wondering your thoughts on the Patrick Chung retirement announcement today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Go, Greg.
Great Patriot, tough guy. You know, all that stuff deserves to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. This clears up a lot of things in the secondary, though. It looked really – when they signed Jalen Mills, who is very similar to Patrick Chung in terms of, you know, is he a nickel corner? Is he a safety? He can cover tight ends, all that stuff. He's got a lot of swagger. He's got a big mouth. He's a lot like Patrick Chung. Chung removing himself from this now cleans things up a lot more in the secondary and at the safety position.
Okay, we've got more with Greg. We just fire him off. Football questions. We'll do three up, three down. Three things, and individual little things that he likes about who they signed or what they do, and three things that concern him about the guys that they've signed. Greg also has some information, from what I understand, on the Patriots trade talks with the Niners on Garoppolo. So he'll share with you what he knows about that coming up as well. So don't go anywhere. Here's an update with Murray first.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now,
It's time for Three Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And Three Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three Up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three Down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, Three Up, Three Down with Bedard. We do this during the season. Let's do a free agent edition. Three things or players Greg likes in Patriots free agency. Three things or players he doesn't like. Maz, Murray, everyone's allowed to chime in. So just give me your number one star or the thing you like the most about their free agency. It could be anything, Greg.
The two tight ends. I mean, yeah, I know Ryan Izzo got traded to the Texans, thank God. But finally, after years of neglect, we finally get to watch some real tight ends in this offense. I mean, and it suits Cam Newton or whoever the quarterback is. You know, I just think it's a great plan for them. It's going to be hard to defend. I know we've seen Gronkowski and Hernandez here before. Gronk, the traditional Y, Hernandez, the F. This is different. These guys are interchangeable, and I think it's going to make them that much tougher to defend.
Incredibly, I have the same thing at the top of my list, believe it or not. And you know what, Mike? If you were to ask me individually how do I feel about these two guys, I'd tell you, honestly, I think they're each a little overrated. They're good players. They're not great players. But together, I like it. I do like the two of them together. It was an aggressive move. It was something no one saw coming. I like it.
Yeah, let's not overthink it. It's Henry and Smith. And if they're not studs, like Maz said, they're very, very good players. And they're going to be a fit here, even if Cam Newton half the time is throwing at their feet.
Number two, Greg.
That they completely revamped their run defense. I mean, you know, we went from them being soft as soft serve on the outside against the run with John Simon and Winovich and whoever else they put out there. And now they have Matthew Judon on one side, Kyle Van Noy on the other. Godchow inside is he kicks ass against blockers, can take up two, defeats blocks, does everything. We'll see on Guy. I'm hoping Guy's back, but even if it's Anderson, that guy just, you know, doesn't move. It can make plays. God, they are so much better against the run now. It's not even funny.
So I want Guy back, but I like the two fatties in the middle of the defensive line. I do like Godchow and Henry Anderson. I like those pickups. Again, I don't know if they can play. Okay, I'll defer to Greg on that. But they needed to get fat guys in the middle of that defensive line. And so, seriously, it was a major problem. They were pathetic in there. So I'm happy about the interior, the D-line, the tackles.
You got two real wide receivers in Aguilar and Bourne, maybe a bit of an overpay for Aguilar, and hopefully you get the Aguilar of last year, but you needed help in that position, so I like those signings.
So third thing you like, Greg?
Related to what Jim was saying, that the receivers. I just think that they're importing receivers that have talent that we're not going to have to project and we're not going to have to come along and this rookie and this. And, you know, it's not some has-been at receiver that we're watching, you know, the corpse of them running around having to catch balls. These are actual real NFL receivers who have been productive who should be able to fit in this offense. And related to that, you're talking about two receivers who their coaches, I can tell you, the 49ers with Bourne, the Raiders with Aguilar, those teams hated to lose these guys. Hated.
Okay, so I went with Trent Brown, and it's not a true free agent maneuver, but it's an offseason acquisition, so I included it. And to me, all three of the things that I mentioned come together. They're all about physicality. They're all about big guys. And so I just thought they were kind of – now, they were able to run the ball. Their offensive line last year was pretty good. But I like the fact that Brown is a road grader. I feel like they're a more physical football team than they were. So I love the idea of him being able to flatten people, the two fatties in the middle of the defensive line, the two tight ends. They feel to me bigger than they were, and there's some speed in there too, but to me it's about the power.
And I like the signing of Matthew Judon as long as he is engaged and not trying to eat himself out of the league and saying things like body by Taco Bell before games. I know Greg will have more on this.
Okay, what are the three concerns that you have, Greg?
Okay, so again, let's put this into context. I think they did a really nice job. This is like reviewing a 45-3 Patriots victory.
No. I'm asking you to pick at some.
I know, but I'm just letting fans know because you know how they are. Number one is for me, it's Trent Brown. It's just that he's a big question mark for me this time around. Like, you know, We've been over it before. He's quit on, you know, two of his last three teams. He has gotten his money already, as opposed to last time. Dante Scarnecchia is not here. Is he going to play? Is he going to be injured? Is he going to be like, man, I don't feel like playing today? All that stuff is now in the mix with this guy, which you didn't have to deal with before. And he's just completely unpredictable. And he could be a big load of nothing this year. There's a chance of that happening.
I don't love what they did at receiver. I'm a complete opposite of those two guys. I look at what they did at receiver and I say, you know, Aguilar got chased out of Philadelphia. They hated him there. They hated him. And so this is now his third team in, what, 3 years? And so I look at that and say, what's wrong there? And Bourne, let's be honest, third or fourth guy. That's what he is. So look, you know, could the Patriots tap into something? Yeah, but it's not like they have a quarterback right now who can throw the ball down the field. So the receivers, to me, I'm a little mystified on that one. I don't love those two.
I feel like you both missed it. Number one is that they brought Cam Newton back and gave him a pay bump.
Okay, that is the obvious one. Number two and three, let's go. Be quick if we can.
Ted Karras being the starting center today is a huge concern. I love Steady Teddy as a backup guard and center. They need to do better. They've done it before. Rookies have started on the offensive line there for them before, so hopefully that happens again. And, you know, number three is to go with what you were talking about, Felger, with, you know, Belichick saw this coming and all the moves. Yeah. Well, why did he tag Tooney last year and blow $15 million in a third-round pick this year? So that all would have been handy this year.
For me, number two was Judon. I'm worried about that one a little. I'm worried about it. Baltimore is a defensive team. They always have been. Why are they letting him go? Why are they letting him go? And then the other thing is, it's not typically the kind of position Belichick goes after for a high-profile player. Again, he doesn't go after the guy on the edge there that costs money. So I worry about that one a little bit. And my third one is the combo of Newton and Karras, which is, you know, you're talking about right from the snap. And Greg, I want to ask you about Karras later, but, you know, there was a drop there from Andrews to Karras when that switch happened, and Newton scares the crap out of me. I'm with Murray on that.
Number two is Karras. He's bad with shotgun snaps. Just pay Andrews. Number three, that they brought back Kyle Van Noy because we have to listen to him again.
Follow-up quickly, Maz, on your center question. I know you had one.
Yeah, so look, when you talk about Karras at center, Greg, incapable of doing some of the things that Andrews did in terms of getting out to the second level and things they like to do?
Yes. Ted's strength is pass pro. The running game, at least the way it used to be, like 2019, he can't get to the second level, and it really adversely affects the running game. We all saw it in 2019. They could not run the ball the same, and it was solely because of the switch at center. Now, that being said, with what they have right now with two tight ends, with if it's Cam Newton, with the running game, with Trent Brown, the option is there to go a little bit more power instead of inside zone. Inside zone is when, you know, you're picking off linebackers at the second level. If they go more power-based, then that fits Ted Karras a little bit more.
All right. More of your thoughts with Greg Bedard. Whatever you got, fire them off. We'll get back to your calls. Also, we'll update the Deshaun Watson situation. That feel like it's developing. And Greg has some intel on Garoppolo and the Patriots and that conversation. So that's all coming your way in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
If you're an engineer looking to advance your career, Northeastern University's Gordon Institute of Engineering Leadership may be right for you. Learn more by visiting northeastern.edu/gordoninfo. That's northeastern.edu/gordoninfo.
Felger and Mass.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Steph, we're talking about Deshaun Watson because a Houston attorney now says six women are suing the Houston Texans quarterback alleging assault. In an Instagram post last night, Tony Busby announced that he's filing a third lawsuit, what he calls the most egregious to date, and says three more are coming. So here's what we know. The women are referred to as Jane Doe in the documents, and they're licensed massage therapists. One woman claims her encounter with Watson happened at her home last March. The second lawsuit claims last August Watson paid to have a masseuse fly from Atlanta to Houston to give him a massage at the Houstonian Hotel. In both cases, the women claim Watson made inappropriate demands of a sexual nature. So back to Busby's latest Instagram post. There is a there's a lot here. But Busby addresses accusations he's only taking these cases for headlines or money. He says he doesn't need fame, and if he never made another penny, he would be quite okay. So really emphasizing this isn't about the money. Well, that's not what Watson says. In his statement, he accuses Busby of demanding a six-figure settlement that he rejected. Watson also insists he's never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect, and he looks forward to clearing his name.
Okay, so there's the latest as of this morning out of Houston. Seems to be evolving here as we go, but the list of accusers for Deshaun Watson is growing. I'll give you my thought on it real quick. First, I think it's a major story that's going to just spread across the league. Deshaun Watson is the domino that needs to fall first before anything else happens personnel-wise at that position across the league. You know, the Jets and the Dolphins sitting there at two or three. Do they trade for Watson or draft a player? And if they draft a player, what's left for those behind them? And what's left for those behind them then impacts a team like the Patriots. So it all trickles down. I think it all starts with Watson. Everything is gummed up as long as Watson doesn't move or it's uncertain what his situation is. And I think this, as it grows, you know, really, you can't move him. You can't trade him. I don't think the Patriots could trade for this guy right now, even if they wanted to or could meet the number and all of that, which I don't think they could in the first place. But with this hanging over his head, he ain't going anywhere. And so this is a major impact across the league, you know, one. And two, you know, we talked yesterday whether this was a smear campaign on the part of a friend of Bob McNair's or, you know, the late Bob McNair with this, you know, shady lawyer. I mean, it might be both. I mean, the list of accusers is growing. Some of the details are getting worse by the hour, it feels like. So it feels like there's some legitimacy to some of this stuff. And it also could be brought, you know, like you guys were talking about yesterday, something done by the Texans to kill his mark and to keep him a Texan. So your thoughts, guys?
The allegations are obviously to be taken seriously now that you have this many accusers, even if you had one. Even yesterday, like while I initially my response to this, because it just did seem a little bit shady given the timing, like, but the allegations need to be taken seriously given the nature of them. But you're not an a-hole to think that there's something weird about the timing. I refuse to come down on that. Like, with what's going on with him, with the background of that lawyer, the timing of all this, it's just strange. I don't think you're wrong to think that something could also be up here.
So, look, the sheer number of people now involved that are making an accusation is terrifying. I mean, if I'm a team in the league, I'm saying six people? Six? And so that, I mean, to me, that part is almost obvious, right? And, you know, Mike, you said there's nobody that could probably, or I should rephrase, many teams that can't trade for him, including this one. I mean, just think of the optics. A masseuse, improper behavior. What's that going to raise questions about?
Well, just be right. Consistent. They have to be consistent exactly. With the way that they handle Antonio Brown. You cut Antonio Brown for the allegations that were surrounding him at the time, and then you're going to bring in Deshaun Watson with these same kind of things surrounding him? Like, it just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I just think you then run the risk if you're the Patriots. Let's say they were in on this thing, okay? And who knows? I mean, I think the chances of him ending up here at Watson were slim. But if they make the move, don't you think the first thing the critics are going to say is, oh, well, they had an owner who did it. Now they have a quarterback. And it's not apples to apples, okay? Because obviously, you know, in Kraft's case, it was more of an embarrassing thing than it was any sort of, you know, infringement on
somebody. There's too many punchlines, Mass. Yeah. There's too many punchlines.
Oh, great. God, yeah, they can't do it. There's just no way they can go near it.
Did you have a thought, Greg?
Not really. I have not paid attention to this story. I've been plenty busy with the Patriots, and you know, this sort of story makes me uncomfortable anyways. I don't really have a comment on it. The only thing I will say, Mike, is that, you know, with some of the things going on in Houston this year, you know, I checked in a few times to see what was going on, and you guys know my reporting on Easterby and things like that. I will just say this, and it didn't rise to this level, but just one thing to put on people's radar, and I'm not saying it applies to this. This is a completely different situation. But I will tell you that when DeAndre Hopkins went out the door, or when he was about to go out the door, there was a lot of information out there, negative information about DeAndre Hopkins. Now, it didn't rise to this level in lawsuits and things like that. But to me, that tells me this is in the Texans' playbook. I'm not saying that they did this, but they were putting a lot of bad information out there on DeAndre Hopkins.
All right, so you're saying they're capable of it. I get it. In the meantime, maybe in a related story, we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of the named quarterbacks has signed in the AFC East. Former Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is signing with the Buffalo Bills, according to Adam Schefter and Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.
It's a good move for them.
Makes some sense. Yeah, it does.
It's a good move for both of them. Yeah, I think there's some, you know, similarity there to how Josh Allen plays, or maybe they say this is how you should play. And the pressure's going to be off him. He can develop with Brian Daboll and all of that. I think it makes sense for both sides. You got a thought on it, Greg?
Yeah, Josh Allen's totally getting replaced. I was totally right about this. This is just a no, look, he's looking for a place to you know, sort of recalibrate his career. I think you're right. I think Daboll and that system and what Josh Allen does is a really good fit for Trubisky, so good place to hide out for him.
Oh, he's a good backup for that system. He can move and he's got a big arm. Like, it makes sense. Put him behind Allen. Absolutely. It's a good fit.
Okay, and I just think it's interesting, you know, we were talking about all these guys, these fringy, bummy, you know, second tier or second chance rebound quarterbacks and the free agents and the whole raft of them between Tyrod Taylor and Mitch Trubisky now and Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. I mean, there's just a whole raft of those guys, right? And
Mariota, like, did you hear the scoop earlier on him, Mike, in the headline?
No. Yeah.
So the Raiders asked him to take a pay cut down to just $3 million, and if he refuses, he's likely going to get cut.
Okay. I'd be surprised if he landed here, Greg, because I was just about to say, it just feels like when it comes to that group of guys, the Pats would rather have Cam Newton than that group of guys, which I disagree with. I'd rather have anyone in that group over Cam Newton, but they're going to stick with Cam Newton over those guys, I think, unless, do you think Mariota, as a cheap free agent where they can start over with him, would have appeal for them?
It's possible. I mean, you know, in my discussions previously, and you guys talked about my reporting, a lot of it had to do with Mariota and his contract and his he didn't want to tear it up. What does that say about him? You know, all that stuff. So maybe him cheap on the street might make him more appealing to them. It's possible. I don't think that they're all that crazy about Mariota. I think that they still, you know, Jimmy is still the apple of their eye. If that ever happens and Mariota would close the door, not saying that they wouldn't do that, but you know, it's possible. I wouldn't say it's likely, but here's the thing, and this goes to sort of the argument that we had last year about Alex Smith, and I'm on board with them in this regard. Is you guys bring up, well, Alex Smith or this or that, and I, you know, I lost my mind because I'm not doing it again. Like, even now I would rather have Cam Newton back with some semblance of knowledge of the system, of the players around him, of the coaches, where he goes in the facility. Like, I'm not going through again, oh, all right, well, this guy's starting. Well, we can't really say too much because it's only week two and he's only been in the system. No, like, there had to be a reason why they went through 2020. If it's Cam Newton, it's Cam Newton, whatever. But I'm not bringing in and retraining somebody else. I'd rather go with what I know and base everything off that.
Okay, meanwhile, Bedard has a nugget on Garoppolo and the Patriots, and we'll get to this, I promise, after Murray's quick update, the very latest across NFL free agency. No commercials, and we're right back.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet, and that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.